الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن عدة الشهور عند الله 12 شهرا في كتاب الله يوم خلق السماوات والأرض منها أربعة حرم، ذلك الدين القيم، فلا تظلموا فيهن أنفسكم، وقاتلوا المشركين كافة كما يقاتلونكم كافة، واعلموا أن الله مع المتقين. صدق الله العظيم. Respected elders and beloved brothers in Islam, first of all, we should express our gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this opportunity. Allah ta'ala granted us the tawfiq to sit in a majlis, to sit in a gathering of ilm, of knowledge. We find, my respected brothers, it is a very, very cold night. The warmth of our homes was inviting most of us, but despite that, through the fazl and the karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with a genuine desire and urge to learn more about the deen of Allah ta'ala, many of us sacrificed and have come in this majlis. First of all, we should recognize the value of this action in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hadith is very, very often quoted, wherein Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informs us that وَمَا اجْتَمَعَ قَوْمٌ فِي بَيْتٍ مِّن بُيُوتِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَيَتَدَارَسُونَهُ بَيْنَهُمْ. That no group of people gathers in any of the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, engages in the recitation of the ayat, the Quran of Allah ta'ala, وَيَتَدَارَسُونَهُ بَيْنَهُمْ, and learning concerning that which Allah ta'ala is informing us. إِلَّا نَزَلَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّكِينَةِ, that Allah ta'ala causes His sakina, His peace, His tranquility to come upon such a gathering. وَغَشِيَتْهُمُ الرَّحْمَةِ, the rahmat, the mercy of Allah ta'ala enshrouds such a gathering. وَحَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَ, and the malaika come and throng around such a gathering. وَذَكَرَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَنْ عِنْدَ, and Allah ta'ala makes mention of this gathering in a greater gathering, that is the gathering of the angels. So we find, my respected brothers, that those of you who might remember, last week Friday also we mentioned this, that in order for the acceptance, or in order for us to derive the maximum benefit from any action, together with the niyat, the intention being correct, there is another important factor which Shariat informs us, which is called ihtisab. That is to have the genuine yaqeen and the hope in the reward that has been promised for that action. That is, even in hadith it has been mentioned that for this particular action, Allah Ta'ala will grant you so much, then that yaqeen must be there. That talab, that urge for that reward must be there. Then only we will get this great reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is for this reason that such ahadith of fazail, of virtue are mentioned. So that once we have been reminded of the fact that this gathering is so esteemed in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala is going to depute His angels to come and sit here, despite the fact that we cannot see them, our iman is on the fact that Nabi Apostle has informed us of their existence and of their presence. So we have yaqeen that they are attending it. The fact, together with that, that we know that Allah Ta'ala is remembering this gathering somewhere else. Together with that, we know that the tranquility and peace from Allah Ta'ala is descending upon the gathering. That yaqeen must be there, that the seven heavens and the earth can come to an end. But what Nabi Apostle has said concerning the virtue of this, without a doubt we are receiving it. There must be absolutely no doubt in the mind or in the heart of each any one of us. We find in one hadith concerning the knowledge of ilm, concerning the gathering of ilm, the gathering of knowledge, Nabi Apostle entered the Masjid al-Nabawi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he saw two groups of people involved in two separate actions. One group of people were involved in remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another group of people were involved in learning, teaching one another. That is, somebody doesn't know something, somebody else was teaching him. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the narrator of the hadith mentions that both these groups were mentioned. And thereafter, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about the action of both of these groups. Concerning the one action, the one group which was involved in the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala, Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that if Allah Ta'ala desires, He will grant them what they want, or if He so desires, He will not grant it. It is in the desire of Allah Ta'ala, it is in the will of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And concerning the other group, Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam praised what they were doing, and together with that he said, فَهُمْ أَفْضَلْ. This group is a superior group. وَإِنَّمَا بُعِسْتُ مُعَلِّمًا. And I have been sent as a teacher unto mankind. That is, the action that these people are involving themselves in is the very purpose for which I was sent to mankind. This is the importance that the Shariat attaches with having a talab, with having a urge to learn concerning the deen of Allah Ta'ala. We find one hadith, Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that may yuridillahu bi khayra yufaqihu fid deen. That person for whom Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala desires good, for whom Allah Ta'ala intends good. My respected brothers, we have heard this hadith time and again. But it is for us to ponder and realize that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is that being in whose control the seven heavens and the earth is. Allah Ta'ala is that being in whose control all the treasures of this world is. He grants to whomsoever He desires, He takes from whomsoever He wants. And we find that the richer a person, for instance in society, we try to win the favor of somebody who is rich or somebody who is in a high position, because we know for a fact that the more higher the person's position is, the more richer he is, the greater the reward and the greater the prize we are going to get from such a person. Now Allah Ta'ala is that being who has the key to all the treasures in the seven heavens and earth. And Nabi Pak Sallallahu is saying that for that person whom Allah Ta'ala desires good, that is Allah Ta'ala can grant him anything. Allah Ta'ala can grant him wealth. Allah Ta'ala can grant him children in a multiple number. But of all the treasures of Allah Ta'ala, Nabi Pak Sallallahu picks out this one, that for that person whom Allah desires good, yufaqihu fi deen, He grants him the understanding, the samaj of deen. This shows what a great ni'mat, what a great favor, what a great bounty understanding of deen is in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. That of all the treasures in the world, for that makhsus banda of Allah Ta'ala, whom Allah desires good, He grants him this particular favor. He grants him samaj in deen, He grants him the understanding of deen. And together with that we find, ulama say that it is not necessary to be part of this hadith that a person has to be in a darul ulum all his life, only learning. But at any point in our life, wherein Allah Ta'ala brings us closer towards some zari'ah, towards some means of gaining knowledge, it is already indicative of the fact that Allah Ta'ala desires good for us. And we should make the shukr of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala in this regard, because it is the promise of Allah Ta'ala, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِن كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. That if you will show shukr, if you will be grateful for the ni'mat, the bounties I have granted you, لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ, we will definitely increase these upon you. وَلَئِن كَفَرْتُمْ, and if you are ungrateful, if you have a lackadaisical attitude, if you do not appreciate the bounties of Allah Ta'ala, or on the other hand, a greater harm, if you attribute your acts of deen towards yourself, that it is my piety, it is my taqwa, then إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ, verily my chastisement, my punishment is a severe one. We find that from this we learn quite clearly that on the one hand, when we get the tawfiq to do something, immediately there should be shukr towards Allah Ta'ala. There has to be that gratitude we must show to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Then it will become a means of increasing this upon us. We find that that was not the reason we have gathered today. Actually, the topic today we are discussing is concerning Muharram and Ashura. The ayat of the Quran which I recited, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, إِنَّ عِدَّةَ الشُّهُورِ عِنَّ اللَّهِ 12 شَهْرًا فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ يَوْمَ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ مِنْهَا أَرْبَعَةُ الْحُرُمِ. That the number of the months in the year, in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, on the day which Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala created the heavens and earth, فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ, according to the ordinance of Allah Ta'ala, is 12 شَهْرًا, is 12 months. That is, the 12 months in the year has been ordained by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. It is through the will of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And this is the correct number of months. يَوْمَ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ مِنْهَا أَرْبَعَةُ الْحُرُمِ. And thereafter Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentions that from amongst these 12 months, there are 4 months which we refer to as the Ashhuri Hurum, as the months of Hurmat. The word Hurum comes from Haram. But generally, amongst our understanding, we tend to attach this word haram as being something unlawful, as being something forbidden. But it is not, in this regard, it is not meant like that. It is meant sacred, something sacrilegious, something to look up towards. That is, from the 12 months in the Islamic year, 4 months have been accorded special virtue, they have been accorded special benefit. Then Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمُ. This is the correct, this is the straight deen. فَلَا تَظْلِمُوا فِيهِنَّ أَنفُسَكُمْ. And do not oppress yourselves in these months. If you look at the tafsir of Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayh, generally what is meant by oppressing ourselves during these months is first of all not granting these months the necessary privilege that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has afforded to them. Let us understand one thing, that if we look at the 7 days of the week, of the 7 days of the week, if you go to somebody and ask him that which is the most superior day, which is the day of highest ranking, immediately a Muslim will answer that it is the day of Friday. Like that, if you ask a person from amongst the whole of mankind, who is the most superior human being, without a doubt, any person will say Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We find, my respected brothers, the point I am driving at is that when we give preference to one thing over another, it must not be subject to our understanding, it must not be subject to our intellect, but it is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His will, has granted certain privilege to certain things, and it is our duty, and it is part of our iman, that now we should grant them the necessary privilege. That of the 12 months of the year, Allah ta'ala, out of His wisdom, has granted 4 superiority over the rest. And what these 4 are, is Zilhajjah, the first month of the Islamic year, Muharram, and Rajab. And right now we find ourselves in the month of Muharram. Also it is mentioned in the tafsir of that particular ayat that during these 4 months, because they are sacred and because they are of greater value, likewise the amal which we will carry out in these months, Allah Ta'ala will grant greater reward. And on the other hand, the guna which we will commit in these months, there will be greater azab, there will be greater punishment. One goes with the other. And together with that, the Mufassirin have mentioned that if we accord these 4 months the necessary right, and we involve ourselves in ibadat in these months, then the beauty of it is this, that we will get the tawfiq of throughout the rest of the year carrying ourselves in a correct fashion, and Allah Ta'ala will grant us the tawfiq of carrying on with these amal throughout the rest of the year. Now, my respected brothers, from these 4 months, also worthy of mention, we find that even before the coming of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these 4 months had been recognized as superior months. We find that the Adi Ambi alayhi wa sallam also used to teach the Ummatis to respect these 4 months. The people of Jahiliyyah, the people of ignorance, the people, the Meccans, etc., in the time of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before his Nubuwat also, they used to respect these months to the extent that they were always fighting with one another, and they were always engaging in wars with one another. But when any of these 4 months came, immediately all fighting used to stop. Some of them used to even give Rajab more preference over the other, to the extent that whatever weapons they had, they would break and destroy all the weapons. Any sword that they could find, they would break it. Any spear that they could find, they would break it during these months. So much of respect that they afforded to these months. And we find the Shariat of Islam also kept this respect in this regard, as we find it mentioned in the ayat of the Holy Quran. And concerning these 4 months, it is the month of Muharram which we are in right now, and it is concerning that which we will discuss. First of all, we find that in one hadith of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions quite clearly concerning the fast of the month of Muharram. We are not referring to the fast of the day of Ashura, that is the 10th of Muharram, but fasting throughout the entire month of Muharram. Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that for each roza, each fast that will be kept during this month, Allah Ta'ala will grant you the reward of 30 rozas, of 30 fasts. That is the reward that has been mentioned. And together with that, we find that concerning the day of Ashura itself, Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, Su'ila Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an siyami yawmi Ashura. That Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked concerning fasting on the day of Ashura. And Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, Yukaffiru sanat al-madhiya. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a result of fasting on the day of Ashura, will forgive the entire past year's sins. Whatever sin was committed in the past year, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive it. But we find, my respected brothers, in this regard also, the ulama have mentioned that when we find in ahadith, it is mentioned that for doing this particular action, so many sins will get forgiven. For instance, it come in hadith that if you perform your 5 daily namaz, this will become a kafara, it will become a means of destroying all your sins. Ulama say that the sins referred to in these ahadith are the minor sins, the saghair, the saghira gunas. The kabira gunas, the major sins, for them it is absolutely necessary that certain conditions have to be found. And generally the ulama say that the conditions are, one, yukliya anil ma'asiyati, that the person must first stop from carrying out that particular guna. We find that it will be absolutely foolish if a man is doing something wrong and then he has to raise his hands towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask for forgiveness, and yet in his heart he has absolutely no intention of stopping from that wrong that he is doing. He intends to carry on doing it, he is not worried about that, and he raises his hands and asks from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even we ourselves, if somebody is doing something wrong to us, and while still doing the wrong, he comes to us and says, forgive me for what I'm doing, and he carries on doing it, what will be our attitude towards such a person? So like that, the ulama say clearly that concerning the kabira gunas, the major sins, the first thing is a يقلع عن المعصية, you will have to stop from that particular wrong. And the second thing is يندم على فعلها, you will have to show genuine regret, genuine sorrow, genuine grief over the fact that he has broken the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third condition, يعزم ألا يعود إليها أبدا, that he must make a firm intention that I will never ever return back to that sin. Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullah alayhi has written to this extent that if a person raises his hands in tawbah and he asks repentance from Allah Ta'ala, but in his heart at the time of the tawbah he has got the genuine intention of returning back to that sin, then he is making mazaq, he is mocking with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu has said that that intention not to return back to that guna has to be so strong, like how when the milk comes out of the teeth of a cow, that milk will never ever go back again. That is how strong the intention should be not to return back to that guna. This is concerning kabair gunas, concerning major sins. This is the condition that the sharia is attached. And also, if that guna is such a sin which involves the right of another person, involves the right of another human being, then together with these three conditions, it is absolutely imperative before Allah Ta'ala accepts this person's guna, accepts this person's tawbah, he has to go to that person and ask him for forgiveness. If he made ghibat about that person, he must go and tell that person to forgive him. If he slandered that person, he must attempt to clear that person's name. If he stole some wealth or some possessions of that person, he must attempt to replace these things, or at least ask that person for forgiveness. And let us understand, it is no zillat, it is no disgrace whatsoever going in this dunya to that person and asking him for forgiveness, because the zillat and the disgrace that we will have to face on the day of judgment is far worse than any disgrace in this dunya. We find one hadith, Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am digressing from the topic, but because of the importance of this, we will mention concerning this. Once Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked his sahaba that who is a muflis, who is a bankrupt person. The sahaba said, "Man la dirham lahu wa la mata'." That person who's got no dirhams, he's got no possessions in this world, that is a bankrupt person. Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the muflis, the bankrupt person of my ummah, is that person who will come before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, and his books and his scale is full with rozas, his scale is full with namaz, his scale is full with charity, with all sorts of virtuous actions. And we find that this person's scale is so heavy, and then one person comes and says that he slandered me, and he takes away some of his good deeds. Another one comes and says he spoke lies about me, he takes away some. And it carries on like this, till Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that all his good deeds are finished, and then still more people are coming and claiming against that person. Then these people, guna are taken and put upon this person. And this person, because of not looking after the rights of his fellow man, despite the fact that he worshipped Allah Ta'ala correctly, but not looking after the rights of a fellow man, this person will be taken and thrown into the fire of Jahannam. From this we learn that the Shariat of Islam attaches importance together with the ibadat also to the rights of our fellow human being. And it is very, very important that while we have the chance, while we have the life, let us lower ourselves and go to those brothers of ours whom we have harmed in any way, whom we have wronged in any way, and ask them for forgiveness. Those brothers who are not talking to one another, we are only earning the fire of Jahannam for ourselves. Let us attempt to fetch these things up in the dunya, because these are the things that have very, very great importance on the day of judgment before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as I was mentioning, Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the fasting on the day of Ashura will cause the forgiveness of one sins prior to it, and 1 year sins prior to it. And together with that, my respected brothers, we find that so much of importance was attached to the fast of Ashura that before the fast of Ramadan became farz, we find that this fast was farz upon the believers. And once Ramadan came in, then only they were given a choice, and it no longer remained farz. To this extent, the Sahaba used to keep this roza, that it comes in riwayat, that they used to even make the children keep this roza. And if the children are hungry, they would make toys out of wool, and they would play with the children till the time of iftar came, so that the children will forget about the hunger. So much of importance was attached to this. My respected brothers, it is an indicative of our iman, that when we hear such ahadith, when we are told, for instance, that one roza is going to get you the reward of 30 rozas, for instance, that one roza is going to earn you such a thing, that for 1 year, all your sins that you committed are being forgiven, automatically, if an urge is created within our hearts, this is indicative of the fact of the true iman we have in what Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said. On the other hand, if we find that we just let this thing go through 1 year and come out from another year, and we find, my respected brothers, it is quite easy for us to understand right now that it is the month of winter. The days are probably the shortest that they are going to be throughout the year. Let us take the zahmat, let us take the effort, and make a genuine intention that we will fast during these days. And a very, very important point that is mentioned, that the ulama have said concerning how the day of Ashura, the significance of the day of Ashura, the significance of the Roza, of the fast of Ashura. It is this matter, in this matter and in this regard, we find there is a great deal of confusion, there is a great deal of things that are attached to this day that have absolutely no basis in the Shariat of Islam. As I mentioned earlier, if somebody is asked which is the most superior day in the week, he answers Jumu'ah, because Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul has given that day that privilege. Like that, my respected brothers, that the importance of anything in Shariat, if we regard it as part of Shariat, it has to originate from the Holy Quran or the sayings and the teachings of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his Sahaba. We find, my respected brothers, that in this regard, we find there is a great deal of confusion. For instance, nowadays, the condition has reached such a stage that if somebody has to accept Islam, he is in a total confusion. He doesn't know in which direction to go. He finds some people involved in this, somebody is involved in that, somebody is calling this important, somebody calls that important. We find the person is absolutely confused. He doesn't know in which direction to go. This is not an indication of the weakness of Islam, my respected brothers, because Nabi Pak has prophesied, he has mentioned that such a time will come upon the believers. And we find that when we see such conditions, instead of causing our iman to decrease, this should cause our iman to increase. Why? Because my Rasul said that such a condition is going to come upon me, and I am seeing it clear as daylight in front of me. A beautiful example of this is seen during the time of the Sahaba, when it came to the battle of Ahzab. We find that Ahzab means groups. At that time, all the various groups, the Quraysh and various tribes in Arabia, joined together to come in one force and crush the Muslimin once and for all. We find that the numbers were 21,000. And 21,000, the khabar, the knowledge came to Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that an army of 21,000 is now converging on Medina to absolutely destroy the believers. And at this time, we find that Shaitan tried to use his opportunity to go to the Sahaba and put it in their hearts that look at what has happened. You were promised of great victories. You were promised great rewards. You were told that you're going to take over Rome and Persia, etc. Now look at the condition. You are weak. Your numbers are so few. You are going through a great deal of hunger to such an extent that it is said that during that battle, while digging the trench, Nabi Pak had two stones tied to his belly. Many of the Sahaba had stones tied to their belly. They went days upon days in absolute hunger and in difficulty, and Shaitan came and put this thought in their heads that now all these people are coming to destroy you. Where is the haq? Where is the truth in your deen? But Allah Ta'ala Himself said concerning the Sahaba, my respected brothers, Allah Ta'ala declared, وَمَا زَادَهُمْ إِلَّا إِيمَانًا وَتَسْلِيمًا, that they said, هَذَا مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَصَدَقَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. The reaction of the Sahaba is something for us to learn. The reaction of the Sahaba to the wasawis, to the deception of Shaitan, was when they saw these groups gathering against them, they said that this is what Allah and His Rasul promised us. Nabi Pak never told us that these victories are just going to come like that. He told us of these difficulties. He told us that we are going to become the enemies of the whole of Arabia. He told us that everybody is going to unite against us. So this is what Allah and His Rasul have promised us. وَمَا زَادَهُمْ إِلَّا إِيمَانًا وَتَسْلِيمًا. The iman even increased and they became more obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was the shan of the Sahaba رضوان الله عليهم أجمعين. And like that, my respected brothers, Nabi Pak said, it is a mafhum of the hadith, that what took place in the Bani Israel will take place in my ummah. حَزْوَنْ نَعْلِ بِالنَّعْلِ. Like how when one person is walking and somebody is walking behind him and each one is putting his footprint in the next one. Like that, whatever happened in the Bani Israel will happen in my ummah. To this extent, that if somebody from the Bani Israel committed zina with his mother, then that sin of incest will also take place in my ummah. And then Nabi Pak said that Bani Israel split up into 72 groups. My ummah was split up into 73 groups, every one of which is in the fire of Jahannam, except one group. And when asked, what was that one group? Ma ana alayhi wa ashabi. That group will follow my sunnah and the practice of my Sahaba. That is where we get the name Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'at, those that follow the Sunnah of Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam together with the Sunnah of the Sahaba. And we find in another hadith, the reason I am mentioning this, my respected brothers, is that there should be no doubt in our heart whatsoever that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has informed us that such a thing is going to take place and what the solution is. And together with that, the importance for us learning that when we attach importance to something, when we regard something as important in deen, it must be proven clearly from the ahadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam or the Holy Quran. We should not listen to what anybody is telling us and should not bring all sorts of strange practices in the Shariat that had absolutely no basis in the lives of the Sahaba and no basis in the Sunnah of Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. On one occasion, we find a hadith is mentioned that the Sahaba says that Salla bina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam zata yawmin, that on one day Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made imamat, he led the people in salah. Then after the namaz, thumma aqbala alayna biwajhi. The literal translation of this is that Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned towards us with his face. The Sahaba are trying to indicate the fact how attentively Nabi Abbas Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam turned around and he faced the Sahaba. فَوَعَذَنَا مَوْعِذَةً بَلِيغَةً ذَرِفَتْ مِنْهَا الْعُيُونَ وَوَجِلَتْ مِنْهَا الْقُلُوبِ. That Nabi Abbas Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave us such profound, such baligh, such eloquent advice. We find that the hearts of the Sahaba were absolutely soft, my respected brothers, that anything Nabi Abbas Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would say, they would take into their hearts and they would bring it into their lives. He said, the person says, that such effect, the advice that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had upon our hearts, is that zarifat minhal uyun, that our eyes started flowing with tears, wa wajidat minhal qulub, and our hearts started trembling with fear for what Nabi Abbas Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was saying. Then faqala rajulun, one person stood up and he said to Nabi Abbas Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, ka'anna hadhihi maw'idhatu muwaddi'in. It seems from the andaz, the manner of which you are addressing us, it is as if you are addressing us like that person who is about to leave, who's making alwida, who's making goodbye, as if your time for leaving this world is near and you are addressing us like that. So if this is the case, fa'osina, then give us some advice which we can hold on to. My respected brothers, if it is told, for instance, the father is on his deathbed and his sons gather around him and he says, and they say to him that, oh my father, you are about to leave this world, you are a person of great experience, you have lived for so many years in this world, give us some advice. At that time the father is not going to go into long stories and tell them all sorts of unnecessary things, that you must make sure you get up every morning and make sure you go to the business, etc. No, at that time he is going to say things of profound importance which he considers to be very, very important in their regard. So we can find that when the Sahaba have addressed Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that it seems that you are addressing us like somebody who is leaving us. Give us some advice which you can hold on to. How important the words that of Nabi Abbas Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that are going to follow, how important they are, we can gauge from this. Nabi Abbas Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Usikum bi taqwa Allah wa sam'i wa ta'a wa in kana 'abdan habshiya." That I advise you, and first and foremost, with the taqwa, with piety, to have taqwa, fear for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And together with that, wasam'i wa ta'a, that wasam'i wa ta'a refers to that whoever is your leader that is in an Islamic country, you should listen to what he is saying and you should be obedient towards him. Wa in kana 'abdan habshiya, even if that leader is a black Abyssinian slave, if your leader is a black Abyssinian slave, even then you should be obedient towards him. From this we learn a profound lesson that Islam does not give privilege, Islam does not give preference based on color, race or nationality. We find Allah Ta'ala says quite clearly in the Holy Quran that inna khalaqnakum min dhakari wa untha wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qaba'ila lita'arafu, that we have made you men and women, we have made you into different tribes and nations and groups for the one reason, lita'arafu, so that you may recognize one another. Nabi Abbas Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, innaka lasta bi khairin bi ahmara wala bi aswada walakin an tufdilahu bit taqwa, that you are not better because your skin is red or that one's skin is white, but the only criterion for the betterment of one person over another is taqwa, is piety. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum, the one who is the most superior in the sight of Allah Ta'ala is that person who has got most taqwa in his heart. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave them this advice. And thereafter he said, فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ بَعْدِي, those of you who are going to live after me, فَسَيَرَى اِخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا, are going to see a great deal of ikhtilaf, are going to see a great deal of difference of opinion. As I mentioned, like the example that of us today, we look around us, there is so much of ikhtilaf, we do not know which direction to go in. Nabi Abbas Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has not only prophesied that such a condition will come upon us, but together with that, Nabi Abbas Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given us the formula, the prescription, the solution to all this problem, that when you see this ikhtilaf, then what does that perplexed and what does that worried person who is searching for the truth, what should he do? Nabi Abbas Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِيِّينَ. Then at that time, make it lazim, make it compulsory upon yourself, my sunnat, and not only my sunnat, the sunnah of my rightly guided khalifas. تَمَسَّكُوا بِهَا وَعَبْدُوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِزِ. Hold fast to this. And then Nabi Abbas Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what literally means عَبْدُوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِزِ, he says the nawajiz are the molars right at the back of the mouth. Nabi Abbas Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, bite onto it with your molars. That is, stick so firmly to my sunnah and the sunnah of my khalifa, of my khulafa'i rashideen. وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحْدَثَاتِ الْأُمُورِ, and beware and be warned and guard yourselves against new things. فَإِنَّ كُلَّ مُحْتَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ. Because every new thing is bid'at, وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. And every bid'at is deviation. And it comes in another riwayat, وَكُلَّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ. And every deviation is in the fire of Jahannam. The message is absolutely clear that when faced with these ikhtilaf, we have to turn towards the sunnah of Nabiya Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the sunnah of his beloved Khalif Khulafai Rashidin. And the same thing will also apply to the day of Ashura. The same thing will apply, for instance, to the question of salami. We find that so much of difficulty, so much of problems we are faced with, especially in South Africa and in certain other countries. All we have to do is, this answer is absolutely simple. Turn towards the ahadith, take up Bukhari, Muslim, go to the ulama and learn that how was it practiced in the time of Nabiya Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you will be faced with ikhtilaf. Should I turn towards that Urdu salami when the Arabs never spoke Urdu, and should I involve myself in that, or how should I address my durud and salam to Nabiya Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnati al-khulafai rashidin. Is milad such a thing? Did the sahaba ever practice the birth of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnati al-khulafai rashidin. In all these things, the solution is absolutely simple, but the crux of it is that because of our ignorance, because we are so far from Islam.